Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled The Spirit of God Uses Mighty Ones, that is, formidable persons in prophetic ministry. I am speaking about the topic of formidable persons who are called by the Spirit of God and who have submitted their will completely to the power of God. These are persons of notable character and stature who are used by God in amazing ways. These persons are given to us throughout the scriptures. They are marvelous personalities who are different in so many profound ways, and yet they present before us a unifying message, a message that is unparalleled in its scope and power. And so I'm going to continue our discussion this morning about the formidable person of Nehemiah. There's also the companion book to Nehemiah, which is Ezra. Nehemiah and Ezra presents Jesus, our restorer. Nehemiah is about visionary leadership. Visionary leadership during a time of urgency and spiritual crisis. He is all about leadership. And leadership means influence, positive, inspiring influence, or one who influences people, one who has persuasive power. And most certainly he does. Leaders must prepare themselves for difficult work because their work will not be easy. Third, we must remember no winning, one brother said. There is no winning without warfare. There is no opportunity without opposition. There is no victory without vigilance. For whenever the people of God say, "Let us rise and build," Satan says, "Let me arise and oppose." Fourth, leaders must have a big vision, and Nehemiah had one. Prayer is essential to leadership. If your vision is so big that only God can accomplish it, then obviously you must pray. Six, prayer is your goal in order to see to it that God's word is carried out. Then your vision will prosper. Please see Proverbs 25:28. Prayer is the foundation for the work of God. Nehemiah was a man of prayer. And he was also a man of action. He was a man of compassion and action, who called upon the God of heaven in chapter 1, verse 4. In chapter 1, verse 4, we read, "When I heard these things, I stepped down and wept with Nehemiah. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his brit of chesed, his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself, and my father's house have committed against you." This is reminiscent of 1 John 1:5. "If we confess our sins, then he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because every sin leaves a wound." And note also that Nehemiah mentions intergenerational debt. He focuses on the sins of the nation. And so the particular word that is used here for sins, plural, by Nehemiah, means wrongdoing, and therefore a failure or a coming short of that aim which God intended for all his children to reach. Furthermore, this word for sin implies blameworthiness and is largely used in confessions to express a conviction that wrong has been done and therefore culpability. It is used to express a conviction that wrong has been done toward God or toward man. And so there is an inherent understanding of one's culpability with regard to sin. That is, one is responsible for one's actions, and so this is very, very powerful. In the Old Testament, sin is a definite act, whether a thought, word, or deed. Sin in the Old Testament is a definite act, whether a thought, word, or deed. It embraces moral evil and idolatry, as well as breaches of ceremonial regulations. So, this man had a heart for God. We see it in verse 4, and we note the extent of his love for God and for his people in verse 5, when he begins this prayer. Now, he goes on in verse 10. He says, "They are your servants and your people," speaking of Israel, "whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man," that is speaking of Artaxerxes. So here is the spiritual test. Nehemiah says that he was a cupbearer Xerxes is going to grant the request of Nehemiah to be sent to Jerusalem. Verse 4, the king said to me, "What is it you want?" Then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my fathers are buried, so that I can rebuild it." This is a monumental request that Nehemiah is making of Artaxerxes, that he wants from Artaxerxes. I want to read to you from 2 Kings, briefly, 2 Kings chapter 25. 2 Kings 25, beginning in verse 1. So in the ninth year of Zedekiah's reign, on the 10th day of the 10th month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, marched against Jerusalem with his whole army. He encamped outside the city and built siege works all around it. The city was kept under siege until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. By the ninth day, a famine in the city had become so severe that there was no food for the people to eat. Then the city wall was broken through, and the whole army fled at night through the gate between the two walls near the king's garden, though the Babylonians were surrounding the city. They fled toward the Arabah, but the Babylonian army pursued the king and overtook him in the plain of Jericho. All his soldiers were separated from him and scattered, and he was captured. He was taken to the king of Babylon at Riblah, where sentence was pronounced on him. They killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. They put out his eyes, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. On the 7th day of the 5th month, in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, commander of the imperial guard, an official of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He set fire to the temple of the Lord, the royal palace, and all the houses of Jerusalem. Every important building he burned down. The whole Babylonian army, under the commander of the imperial guard, broke down the walls around Jerusalem. Nebuzaradan, the commander of the guard, carried into exile the people who remained in the city, along with the rest of the populace and those who had gone over to the king of Babylon. But the commander left behind some of the poorest people of the land to work the vineyards and fields. Babylonians broke up the bronze pillars, the movable stands, and the bronze sea that were at the temple of the Lord, and they carried the bronze to Babylon. They also took away the pots, shovels, wick trimmers, dishes, and all the bronze articles used in the temple service. The commander of the imperial guard took away the censers and sprinkling bowls, all that were made of pure gold or silver. So we read in verse, there at Riblah in the land of Hamath, king had them executed. So Judah went into captivity away from her land. So this is faith. This is what happened to the people of God. Note, I say the people of God. They had turned their backs upon God. They had dismissed his will from their lives, and they followed that which was less than God. And so therefore, they paid a very high price. God had taken away everything from them because of their sin. 2 Chronicles 36 reads, that is 2 Chronicles 36 verse 15 reads, "The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them through his messengers again and again, because he had pity on his people and on his dwelling place." And it's "But they mocked God's messengers, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord was aroused against his people, and there was no remedy. He brought up against them the king of the Babylonians, who killed the young men with the sword in the sanctuary, and spared neither young man nor young woman, old man or aged. God handed them over to Nebuchadnezzar. He carried to Babylon all the articles of the temple of God, both large and small, and the treasures of the Lord's temple, and the treasures of the king and his officials. They set fire to God's temple and broke down the wall of Jerusalem. They burned all the palaces and destroyed everything of value there. He carried into exile to Babylon the remnant who escaped from the sword, and they became servants to him and his sons until the kingdom of Persia came to power. The land enjoyed its Sabbath rest. All the time of its desolation it rested, until the 70 years were completed in fulfillment of the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah." Nehemiah, who was born in exile, was taken up by God. He was called by God, daunting task. This man of visionary leadership, this man who had heard about what happened to Jerusalem in Nehemiah 1 verse 3, heard their message. We're told in verse 4 that he sat down and wept, and for some days I mourned, fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven. God called man of action to rebuild the wall of the city. God called a visionary leader who was godly. And so he is a formidable personality. He gets to Jerusalem. The king gave him leave. And whatever was needed was given to him. Verse 7, "I also said to him, if it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates, so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the king's forest, so that he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, by the temple, and for the city wall, and for the residence I will occupy. And because the gracious hand of my God was upon me, the king granted my request." Plural. "So I went to the governors of Trans-Euphrates and gave them the king's letter. The king also had also sent army officers and cavalry with me. When Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official heard about this, very much disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites. Verse 11 of chapter 2. I went to Jerusalem, and after staying there 3 days, I set out during the night with a few men. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one I was riding on. By night, I went out through the valley gates toward the Jackal Well and the Dung Gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its king, which had been destroyed by fire. This man of vision, upon arrival, after staying there 3 days, this man of vision went out to do an inspection. This man of vision went out to do research, verse 15. In verse 13, we read that he went out by the Dung Gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem. That is, he went out through the Valley Gate toward the Jackal Well and the Dung Gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem. And this is the term examining in a medical term that's used here in the original text. And the medical term here is one that is used for probing a wound in order to see the extent of the damage. This was a man of visionary detail. He understood the importance of minutiae. He did a very detailed inspection of what would be involved in this great work. We're told in verse 15, so I went up by the valley by night, examining the wall. Verse 17, then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruin. Its gates have been burned with fire. Now, to whom is he speaking? Verse 16 tells us, the officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, because as yet I had said nothing to the Jews or the priests or nobles or officials or any others who would be doing the work. So in verse 17, he says, Jerusalem to them, Jerusalem lies in ruin, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me, and what the king had said to me. They replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. So, as we stated earlier, whenever the people of God say, let us rise and build, Satan says, let me arise and oppose. Verse 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Gershom the Arab heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. What is this you are doing? They asked, are you rebelling against the king? I answered them by saying, the God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem nor claim or historic rights. Now, the name Sanballat, verse 19, means Zen has given life. Note we have here a trio of opposers. Sanballat, Zen has given life. We have Tobiah, the Ammonite. If you had some understanding of the history of the Ammonites, you would know his name would be very interesting. Tobiah means Yahweh is good. Yahweh is good. So you see the hypocrisy in his name. Gershom, the name means rain shower. He rains upon that which is good and positive. And we read that they mocked and ridiculed us. The reason why it is so important to have a person like a formidable person like Nehemiah is because he can handle, he can deal with the negativism because his vision is greater than the words of his critics. Now, the word here, verse 20, the Lord, the God of heaven, will give us success. Word, Selah, which means come forcefully. Make victorious and to prosper. Here is a powerful picture of God, man, and a man who is formidable, because he is allowing God to speak. He has received the favor of our mercies to go out and do this great work. But there is also the opposers. There are the opposers. There will be the opposers. Attack God's great work. Formidable person are using prophetic things because they have a heart for God. They will not allow negativism or criticism to stop what God has called them to do. They will not allow negative or to dissuade them from their great purpose. This morning, beloved, the Spirit of God is speaking. You, Spirit of God, wants you to move out. The Spirit of God wants you to become a formidable person. You can, under the power of the Spirit of God, you can change in the most positive and wonderful manner what is going on within your area of it. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.